It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. If you've ever popped off your shoes and socks, held the soft, vulnerable flesh in between your toes, steady under a microscope, and taken a look, I have three things to say to you. First, congratulations on your flexibility. Second, you may need to assess your life choices, maybe take up a new hobby. Third, while you were zoomed in, did you notice all the living, moving things that weren't you? From that vantage point, you would have seen yeast cells aplenty. Whole families of them, little village encampments equipped with watering troughs for the yeast horses, and a one-room schoolhouse, a general store tucked between two of your footprint ridges, the whole mass ready to ride out and realize their manifest destiny at a moment's notice. I'm not suggesting that we make a batch of beer by holding your feet in a pot of warm barley stew, as appetizing as that sounds. It probably wouldn't be worth our time, since there are more yeast cavalry riding the wind drifts than you could ever dream of housing. These single-celled workers don't really need our help in finding nutrients. They are drawn to them. The white film on a Montana plum tree, or the extra tingle on that canned pineapple you left open in the dark back corner of the fridge for too long? Yeast can get what it needs. Lucky for us, we usually benefit mightily from the arrangement. Below the scale of our day-to-day observations, another world exists, one that enables our own. Beer, bread, chocolate, wine, tea, coffee, yogurt, cheese, all rely on single-celled organisms conducting the business of life. Eating, digesting, reproducing, making waste, and dying. Over 600 species of yeast are known. Many have been harnessed for their particular qualities of digestion. Civilizations have risen and fallen on the backs of their yeast strains, so particular to their specific place. Here in Montana, I'm cultivating my own strains of Saccharomyces exiguus. A friend and I brought the dough back from northern Italy, adding a small branch to a family tree that stretches back over 100 years. The cultural ties are strong in this little jar. While the yeast strain has quietly adapted to the benign neglect of my kitchen, I can still see my place in a century-long chain of bakers. Last fall, I put my yeast to a different purpose. I was making hibiscus wine, its hue a deep shade of blood red. The time came to add a second batch of fuel to the mix, nothing but the highest octane sugarcane. I measured it out with a mason jar and poured a stream into the translucent red liquid. As the sugar broke the placid surface, the reaction was instantaneous. Frothing, roiling, foaming, my concoction was a bucket full of microscopic piranhas, lying in wait for this moment when I would chum the increasingly alcoholic waters. The pink froth that these single-celled creatures produced grew to 6 inches high and threatened to overrun the fermenter before subsiding. I had seen yeast at work before, but never like this. Tending these mobile ecosystems in buckets and jars makes me farmer, or vengeful god, or perhaps keystone species. It changes my perspective on the larger ecosystem beyond my door, where the choices I make have implications beyond a loaf of bread or a bottle of wine. Will I be the thoughtful steward, the passive participant, or the active destroyer? When it comes to the heady mix of mammals, plants, insects, microscopic organisms, soil, minerals, water, blood, air, life, do I see myself contained inside the jar, within the ferment, or am I the one shaking the whole mess together? Within or above? Separate or connected? I'm Micah Sewell for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. To find out about upcoming events and programs at the center, call 327-0405 or visit our website at montananaturalist.org.